الحمد لله علي ذات عظيم الصفات سمي سمات كبير الشأن جليل القدر رفيع الذكر متعلم لجليل البرهان فخيم الاسم غزيل علم وسيل حلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن توحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن تقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two of the leaders of the opposition against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two of the key individuals in the resistance and the movement against the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his time, who were from amongst the leaders of Makkah, the leaders of the Quraysh, were Amr bin al-As and Khalid ibn al-Walid. And they both had a very long, storied history. They had a very long, very complicated history with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the Muslims, with Islam. And just to give you a little insight into what degree they were involved. These were not just people who were a passive part of the movement against the Prophet ﷺ. These were not individuals who were just bystanders against the, you know, involved in, they were not just bystanders to the oppression and the violence against the Muslims, but they were actively engaged and actively involved. Amr bin al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the person that in the fourth year of Hijrah, in the fourth year of prophethood, 4 years after the Prophet ﷺ received the message, when there were a few dozen believers in Mecca and they started tormenting them, they started oppressing them, they started persecuting them, he was one of, and they left Mecca, went to East Africa, Abyssinia, and sought refuge. They sought asylum there to be able to live peacefully and not be killed brutally in Mecca. And there were very key members of the Muslim community in that group, like Uthman bin Affan and the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam herself. That they've left, they've abandoned Mecca, they've left Mecca, and they've gone somewhere else seeking asylum, seeking refuge. Amr bin al-As was the person who said that's not good enough. But he followed them all the way to East Africa and went in front of the king of Abyssinia, An-Najashi, and tried to argue and tried to petition the king to return these people to Amr bin al-As's custody so that he could take them back to Mecca and deal with them. This was how set this person was. This is how aggressive this person was in his opposition to Islam. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how severe and staunch was he in his opposition to Islam? That not only was his father maybe at one point in time the intellectual leader of the opposition against Islam, al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, but Khalid himself had fought in the battlefield numerous times against Islam. He was the architect of the turning of events on the day of Uhud, which led to the martyrdom, the killing of 70 companions, amongst whom was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah bin Jahash, illustrious companions and students of the Prophet ﷺ, like Mus'ab bin Umair. So both of these individuals that I'm talking about, as I said before, these were not just bystanders, these were not just onlookers, these were not just passive members of the community that was against Islam, they were active agents in working against Islam. And there's a very interesting, remarkable story about the both of them. That in the end of the seventh year of Hijrah, so now we're talking almost 20 years later, towards the end of the seventh year of Hijrah, when the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims, they had a treaty now with the Meccans, with the Quraysh, and they came back to Mecca to perform Umrah, Amr bin al-As and Khalid bin Walid, both of them, they said that we cannot remain here in Mecca. Watch as the Muslims and the Prophet ﷺ, they come and they perform their Umrah. And so in protest, they left from there. Amr bin al-As, he goes all the way to Abyssinia. He goes to An-Najashi, the same king. That, you know, he is known to be very benevolent, grants people refuge. So I will go there and ask him to take me in. So that if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, and Islam basically dominates the region as it would, that I will not have to live under their rule. And the king of Abyssinia welcomes him. But Amr bin al-As has a conversation with him, which leads him to the realization. He basically is able to realize that An-Najashi himself believes in the Prophet ﷺ. He believes in the message of Islam. And he says, well, what's wrong with me? Everybody understands this message. Everybody sees the light. But I'm still refusing. I'm still being stubborn. So he finally says, you know what? I need to accept the truth. And he starts traveling. He leaves Africa. He starts traveling to Medina. On the other hand, Khalid bin Walid, his brother who was a Muslim, tells him that the Prophet ﷺ was asking about you. He said, where's Khalid? When he came to Mecca to perform Umrah, he said, where's Khalid? And he said, you know, he left because he didn't want to be here because you were coming. And he said, really, Khalid is still opposing me? Khalid is one of the smartest people I know. He's one of the most intelligent, insightful people I know. I would have figured Khalid would understand by now what's true and what's real and what's not. And Khalid's brother Walid tells Khalid that this is what the Prophet ﷺ says about you. And the Prophet ﷺ told Walid, he dictated to him a letter. He said, take this as a message, a personal message from me to Khalid. And in it the Prophet ﷺ says, you're better than this. I expected more of you. And Khalid realizes in that moment as well that I need to accept the truth. The truth I've realized for a long time now, I need to accept it. So they both, now he starts traveling towards Medina. And on the route to Medina, on the road to Medina, they end up meeting up with one another. And they both realize they're going to the same place for the same reason. To finally admit what they've known for a long time. That Islam is the truth, the Quran is the truth, the Prophet ﷺ speaks the truth. So now, the point that I wanted to get to is, they arrive in Medina. Khalid is somebody who has waged war against the Prophet ﷺ. He's fought in the battlefield against the Muslims. Amr bin al-As has fought against, actively against the Muslims. He's campaigned against the Prophet ﷺ. Now you figure there might be some baggage, some contentiousness, some issues. It'll be a little uncomfortable. It'll be kind of challenging and difficult to make this all work. Bitter enemies don't just all of a sudden just, you know, become brothers instantly. But they actually can. And the Quran tells us about this. Amr bin al-As, when he tells his story about accepting Islam, he says, when we arrived there in Medina, and we kind of stopped because we had been traveling, so we wanted to clean up, put on some nice clean clothes, and go meet with the Prophet ﷺ properly. The news reached the Prophet ﷺ that Khalid and Amr are here, and they had a third companion with them as well, Uthman bin Talha, who was another very notable member of the Meccan community, that they have arrived. The Prophet ﷺ was very excited, and he was awaiting their arrival. Khalid's brother comes to him and he says, hurry, hurry, come on, come on. Khalid is so excited to see his brother. He goes, we'll talk later. The Prophet is waiting for you and he's super excited to see you. And when they arrive in front of the Prophet ﷺ and they go and they sit down, this is the part I want you to pay very close attention to. Amr bin al-As, he says that when I went and I sat down in front of him and I accepted the faith and I accepted Islam and I put my hand in, you know, in his hands, he says that I could not look up at him. I had my head lowered in shame. I knew that this man has come with the truth. I knew he was right. And a bitter enemy, he's welcoming me with open arms into his home, into his community, into his masjid, making me a part of his family. And I fought him and I opposed him and I slandered him and I campaigned against him. And I was so ashamed of myself that I just had my head lowered and I felt like I couldn't look at him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "What's wrong? Why do you have your head lowered like that?" He said, "I just feel embarrassed. I feel ashamed of what I've done." And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, look up, look up. He said, Islam removes everything that was there before it. Clean slate. You're one of us now. It's all forgiven. It's all, let bygones be bygones. Water under the bridge. It's all gone. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says when I sat down in front of the Prophet and again to embrace the faith and accept Islam, put my hand in his hands, I also felt just such regret and remorse. He said I felt like I felt pain, like physical actual pain because of the remorse and regret. Like I felt sick to my stomach with myself. And he said, I looked at the Prophet ﷺ and there were tears in my eyes. And I said, "Oh Prophet of God, pray for me that Allah forgives me for what I've done. I've killed people. I've done terrible things to you, to innocent people. Pray for me that Allah forgives me." And the Prophet ﷺ told him the same thing. Look, Islam removes, eradicates, wipes out, cleans the slate for everything that happened before it. Khalid says, "I know that, I understand that, I hear you, but I still need for you to pray for me." And the Prophet ﷺ makes dua for him that, "Oh Allah, forgive Khalid for everything he did before. Give him a clean slate and a fresh start." And he said, brought such just tranquility and calmness and coolness to my heart. The reason why I mentioned this is where I started out initially. That such bitter, hostile enemies, rivals, just melting in front of the Prophet ﷺ like this. Softening up, putting their hands in his hands, tears in their eyes, asking for prayers and du'as. It almost, if we were not believers, if we didn't know better, it would seem like a fairy tale. It would seem like it's not from real life. It would seem like a fantasy, a story people tell. Unbelievable. But it is the truth and we know it's the truth. And the Prophet and the Quran tells us the recipe, the formula for this miracle. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ. Good and bad are not equal, will never be equal. But there's a little nuance, linguistic, grammatical nuance in that verse, in that ayah. The way to say that good and bad will never be equal, are not the same, is وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَسَيِّئَةُ. But Allah said, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا أَسَيِّئَةُ. Which means good and bad are not equal, but it's also a way to say not all good is equal and not all bad is equal. But there are varying degrees and there's an entire spectrum across. That obviously we understand the disparity, the difference between good and bad. But even good, there are varying degrees of good. And even in bad, there are varying degrees of bad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then teaches us, idfa billati hiya ahsan. That's why Allah says, always repel bad with something better than it. So repel bad with good, that makes sense. But respond to goodness with even more good. If someone's good, Don't just respond with that same level of good. Respond with even more good. More khair. More beauty. More forgiveness. More kindness. More excellence. And even in the realm of bad, because sometimes the best option available to us is not ideal. But it's still saying try to keep making things better, even if they're not perfect yet. But always rise above, always take a step higher, always keep stepping upwards. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. What's the consequence? What's the result of this? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً. And all of a sudden, إِذَا مُفَاجَأَةً. Allah says that all of a sudden, miraculously, unexpectedly, almost beyond the realm of reason, what will happen? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً. That between you and between that person where there was severe animosity and hatred, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That person will become your most loyal friend and supporter. That person will become someone who would die for you, who would take a bullet for you, as they say. That's the formula the Quran gives for us. But maybe we need a little bit more elaboration as to how does that manifest in our lives? How do we actually realize that in our day-to-day lives? And that's where the Prophet ﷺ comes in and lays it out for us. Different scenarios, different situations. In a very beautiful, remarkable hadith, narration of the Prophet ﷺ, that's narrated by a few different companions. Uqbah ibn Amir, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they all narrate this narration where the Prophet ﷺ, giving them advice, he gave them four instructions. Number one, wa'fu amman zalak. Wa'fu amman zalamak. Number one, overlook, forgive, let go when someone has done wrong to you. Do not always avenge. Do not always hold the grudge. Do not always be obsessed with settling the score with someone who might have done something wrong to you. That's step number one. Number two, the Prophet ﷺ says, أَعْطِي مَنْ أَحْرَمَكَ. Give to the person who is trying to deprive you. Someone's trying to take something away from you, you give to them. Countering their evil with good. Their negativity with your positivity. Their bad treatment with kindness and generosity. The third, صِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. Join relations with someone who's trying to sever relations with you. This speaks a little bit more specifically to family dynamics, but it can be generally applied to any situation. Relationships, other types, non-family relationships as well, like brotherhood, sisterhood, like in the community. But it has a little bit more specific application in the realm of family. Because we're told to maintain family relations. But you might have a family member that just keeps trying to push you away, that keeps trying to break things off with you, that keeps trying to pick a fight with you, that keeps trying to create problems between you. And in the community, you might have somebody that is constantly confronting you, constantly picking a fight with you, being aggressive with you. صِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. You go out of your way to join relations with that person that wants to keep severing relations with you. أَحْسِنْ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. And be beautiful in your conduct. Be excellence. Be beautiful. Be remarkable. With the one, أَحْسِنْ لِمَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. To the one who is less than good with you. Somebody who is bad with you. Somebody who is mean with you. Somebody who is negative with you. You respond to them with beauty, with positivity, with goodness, with khair. These four things the Prophet ﷺ laid out. That when it talks about always respond and always react and always counter people's bad conduct, idfa billati hi ahsan, with something better, the Prophet ﷺ spells it out for us. So that there's no mystery remaining here. Someone does wrong to you, you forgive them. Somebody wants to take away from you, you give them. Somebody wants to sever relations with you, you go out of your way to try to join and better relations with them. And somebody is ugly towards you, you are beautiful in your conduct with them. This is the recipe the Prophet ﷺ gave us. And the entire life of the Prophet ﷺ is a case study of how this works. It's not just theory. But this was realized, it was lived, it was demonstrated in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And I used the example of Amr bin al-As and Khalid bin Walid. I was not only just reading it recently, but I also used it because it very clearly demonstrates where you have someone who wanted to kill you just a moment ago, would do anything to defeat you, would do anything to wipe you off the face of this earth. Not only you, but anyone who supports you, anyone who is with you, they wanted to clearly wipe them out. And then just all of a sudden, that same person is not only just making peace with you. That's the interesting thing here. They're not just making peace. They're not just giving in. They're not just conceding. But this person has completely made, not only just made peace, but has become one with you, has become a part of your cause, has become a part of your community, has genuine love for you, admiration, respect. And that's what we see in this example, where they're begging for forgiveness. They feel embarrassed of what's happened before, and they're coming together. This is quite possibly one of the greatest miracles of the Quran and the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is one of the greatest tools, one of the greatest resources that we were given. Which is precisely why the second revelation of the Quran after Iqra was the beginning part of Surah Qalam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that you have remarkable great character. And that character will be your greatest weapon, if you understand the usage of the word. That will be your greatest tool, that will be your greatest asset, that will be your greatest resource. That you will win people over, and you will win their hearts over. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. So inshallah, to conclude, we talked about this profound lesson the Prophet ﷺ teaches us, that the Quran, you know, instructs us in regards to. Now it's a matter of realizing that and implementing that within our lives. This is a truth that must manifest. These are not just ideas, these are not just theories, this isn't something to just simply be talked about or listened to, but this is something that has to be lived. The Prophet ﷺ lived it and demonstrated it, and that's what our mandate is. And we need to stop looking for some type of big, ideal, public display of this conduct, and it's going to start to be realized in the very, very small, casual, everyday occurrences, interactions, relationships that occur in our lives. Starting today, look for every single opportunity. And my and your greatest enemy and the greatest obstacle in realizing this within our lives will always be one thing, and that's that ego, the nafs. That will always be the greatest obstacle. There will be times where someone's done something wrong, and I remember hearing, I remember reading, I remember saying, I should forgive them. But that person is my subordinate. That person should listen to me. I'm older than that person. I'm more knowledgeable than that person. There will be somebody who will be severing relations with me, and I have to go out of my way to join relations with them. I'm the elder in this relationship, they're the younger. I'm the responsible one, they're the subordinate. to be good in conduct when this person is being bad with me in their conduct? That ego will always be the greatest obstacle. Nobody was more respectworthy. Nobody was more praiseworthy. Nobody was more responsible. Nobody was more superior than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the greatest human being that ever lived. And whether that person sitting in front of them, no matter how old or young they were, no matter how bad they were, no matter how, the number of terrible things that they had done, the Prophet ﷺ always was the one forgiving, always the one giving, always the one joining, and always the one being good. Because remember, the Prophet ﷺ taught us, وَخَيْرُهُمَا الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ بِالسَّلَامِ. The better of the two in a conflict are the one who initiates the peacemaking process. The one who says salam first. That will always be the greatest obstacle. So starting today, the moment we get done with prayer, start looking for each and every single opportunity where you can start to implement this. And I'll go ahead and just be really honest for a minute. Very likely, you know, our resolve and our sincerity will be tested by Allah. So there will be a situation where I'm the elder, the senior, the responsible, the superior. And now I'm, you know, trying to make amends with somebody who should be more respectful towards me to begin with. But that's okay. I remember what the Prophet ﷺ said. I'm going to give in over here. But our sincerity and our resolve will be tested. So I'll do it once, twice, thrice. And it'll seem like that person might start to take it for granted. It'll seem like people aren't immediately turning right over. Because Khalid bin Walid fought the Prophet ﷺ for 20 years. Let's not forget that. But eventually came around and pledged and dedicated his life to Islam. So we'll be tested. But we have to keep with it. Look back at this example of the Prophet ﷺ and find inspiration within it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to practice everything we've said and heard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to always be more forgiving. May Allah allow us to be the better one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always allow us to be better in our conduct, to be more giving, to be more generous, to be more kind. Allahumma izz al-Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma ahsin عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجلنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على نبي الكريم قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة